remain standing. If you could open up your Bibles, we'd like to have you open them up, your Bibles, to John's Gospel this morning. John chapter 11 is where you'd like to be. We'd like to read the scriptures out of John chapter 11. This morning, the title of the message is "The Great I Am Changes Who I Am." And as you open up to John's Gospel chapter 11, and you'll notice in verse 17, the Bible says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away." John 11:19. "And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' But Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And I love the answer. She said to him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.'" And again, as we have prayed, I would ask, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would do the kind of work that would literally change our lives even today, change our thinkings today, change our desires today. We would leave here today with a strength of heart and a commitment to say, Lord, I'm yours, whatever you desire, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, the great I am changes who I am. It could have not been better displayed for us this morning than with the cardboard testimonies. Weren't you blessed by those testimonies? Man, I knew I was in trouble that when the music started, before anyone came up, my wife got Kleenex out. I knew it was. But just to realize that, to take the courage and to come up here and put a few words in the front that really communicate the depth of despair prior to the grace of God. You know something? Every one of us as believers, we have a cardboard testimony as well. The great I am changes who I am. Where did that come from? Where did the idea of I am come from? Why is Jesus using this terminology, I am, in the Gospel of John? That's a very interesting question. We'd actually have to go back to Moses. Moses in Exodus, he is the one who was in the wilderness for 40 years. And God called him, Moses, to a burning bush. You might be familiar. The bush was on fire and lit, but it was not being consumed. And a voice came from the bush, and it was a voice of God calling Moses to himself. God had a word for Moses. I can say confidently that God, through his word, has a word for each of us today. Absolutely 100% certain about that. Moses went near and God spoke to him. It was holy place and God had a holy word. And he said, Moses, you are to deliver the people out of Egypt. Your people, the Jews, you need to lead them out. And Moses, in talking to God, wondered, how could I do this? And by what authority, how could I possibly do this? And the Lord spoke to Moses, and the Lord said, listen, this is important. The Lord said to Moses, you tell them that I am, has sent you. God used that title, I am that I am. That does not make a lot of sense to us right now. I explored that word. In 1 minute, I think it'll give a clearer understanding. The Hebrew word for God was not able to pronounce that holy word for God. The letters YHWH was the word for the I am, for God. But it was a holy word. They couldn't pronounce it. So the Jews used vowels, and they made the word Yahweh from YHWH. Yahweh. We sang that song, Yahweh, Yahweh, today. And they defined it like this. When we're speaking about the holiness of God, Yahweh, the Lord, He is the absolute being, the one who is and whose dynamic presence works on our behalf. Listen, the I am who I am. He does not change. He is here with you. He is here for you, and He will never leave you. That is the great I am. You tell them, Moses, I am that I am has sent you. Do you understand? That went right in place in Exodus. So, we're over in the Gospels. Jesus is on earth. He is doing miraculous signs. So many signs that the Lord performs according to the Gospels that if all of them were to be recorded, the libraries of the world could not contain the volumes about all that Jesus did. So we just get a little bit of a glimpse. In John's Gospel, he shows 7 different signs or miraculous works. He changed water to wine. He healed a nobleman's son, somebody that was paralyzed. They were on their feet and walking. He fed the multitudes bread. He walked on the water. He healed a blind man. And we see he raised Lazarus from the dead. But if that is not enough, there's still the question, is Jesus truly God? And that question exists today, doesn't it? Here we are on a college campus getting to have a little lecture that these lectures are not usually on these campuses. Jesus is God. He is absolutely certain to be God, the living God. How do you know that? How can you be confident? You're a pastor. You're supposed to preach that. Listen, this book, the Bible, is a library. This is a library of books. Over 40 different authors wrote this library of books over a period of about 1,600 years. 3 different languages, 3 different continents. God used a variety of different people, whether they were kings or farmers and everything in between. And they spoke on every controversial issue that you can imagine in life. And there was unity in all the issues that were spoken about in this word. And God uses this word to reveal to mankind that we need a Savior. We need redemption. God loves us and He wants us to be in heaven with Him for all eternity. How can that possibly be? How can this happen? Well, we need the Savior to come to earth, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the eternal God, the I am, the one who always existed. So we see in the Gospel of John as we go through that, there's 7 times that he uses this idea of I am. The first one is the bread of life. When Jesus said, He is the bread of life, the great I am says, I am the bread of life. Now the disciples, they knew this. It was after the feeding of the thousands. The multitudes were there. They received the food. They were grateful for the food. But as Jesus got his disciples together, he explained this. He says, in the desert, when you had the manna coming down from heaven, God provided for his people for 40 years, every day, manna, bread from heaven. It was there for them. Jesus says, listen, that bread from heaven was from me, and it was to meet your physical needs. But I'm coming as the bread from heaven to feed you spiritually. I am going to meet every spiritual need that you have, every need in your life. Did you notice again, if you think back on the cardboard testimony, every one of those that came forward, they realized this life cannot satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. Amen? That was it. That was the message. Last century, the number one rock and roll song, Like You Really Care, was by the Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And the lyrics insult your intellect if you ever look at them. I can't get no, 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 no. I can't get no, no satisfaction. No, 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 no satisfaction. Victor, can you work that on a little thing? I don't know. Of course they can't. No one will find any satisfaction apart from Jesus Christ. It's only in Christ. He is the bread of life. He is the provider for us. Peter would say, as Jesus questioned, because people were looking at Jesus as a nice meal. They love the blessing. Do you love the blessing of Jesus? I do. I love his blessing. But you know something? I love the blesser more than I love the blessing. Do you love the blesser? Do you love Jesus? Or you just love what you can get from Jesus? See, that was the issue. Because he asked his disciples, the multitudes are leaving right now because the reality is, I'm saying, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And to follow me and to believe in me. And they says, what? There's no more food? We're gone. And Jesus said to Peter, how about you, Peter? You're free, Peter. You're absolutely free to go. And Peter said this, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have words of eternal life. He knew this word is the bread of life, and he would not leave. The great I am says, I'm the bread of life. But following this, he says, I'm the light of the world. How did he say that? What context did he say, I am the light of the world? You'll be interested to know that the religious leaders wanted to trap Jesus using the law. So as Jesus was in his earthly ministry, as he is teaching, the religious leaders brought a woman that says that was caught in the act of adultery. Can you imagine how embarrassing and how shameful that must have been for that poor woman who probably was set up for the situation? But they put this woman right there on the ground and on the dirt, and they all have stones in their hand. And they're saying, Jesus, according to the law, she deserves to be stoned for this immorality. And Jesus says nothing. He, matter of fact, he stoops down and he writes in the sand, and we do not have the privilege of knowing what he wrote in the sand. But whatever he wrote in the sand, it convicted the hearts of those that held the stones. And when they saw that Jesus knew their hearts, they dropped those stones and left. Therefore, the woman caught in adultery, on the floor, on the ground, in the dirt, Jesus is there. She knows only one man is left. Where are your accusers? They're not here anymore. And Jesus says, neither do I accuse you. Isn't that wonderful? I forgive you. I am not about condemnation. I'm about forgiveness. And he says, now, no longer practice this lifestyle of sin anymore. And he says, then right after that, I am the light of the world. That's what he says. He is the light of the world. Is he your light? Does he illuminate your life? I was sharing earlier illustration that you probably have heard before, but it was when I was going into the mall and I had seen a fellow get out of a car in front of me, and he was probably a late teenager, and he was looking inside of the back of a van's tinted windows and was just totally fixing himself up real good. And I was just looking and was quite humored by that. And then as he walked into the mall entrance through the doors there that are mirrored as well, he stopped and he just started working it again. And I couldn't help but come up and say, you're looking good, buddy. It's all great. Just go right on in. And then I thought that was funny. And as I was myself going through the store, I came around an area and I almost ran into this older guy. It's like, excuse me, sir. I was taken back and I look, and it was actually a mirror and it was me. Sometimes God wants us to deal with ourselves and the stuff in our lives. So he lets his light shine. And when his light shines on our lives, either we're going to accept that reality or run from it. Those are the choices. Jesus says, I came into the world to save the world. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he says in John chapter 3 that when the light comes, those that like and love the light, they're drawn to the light. But those that love the darkness are drawn to the darkness. When we leave here today, listen, when we leave here today, either we're going to walk in the light or going to walk in darkness. You say, well, I walk in the gray area. You walk in darkness. Gray is dark. We either leave here walking in the light or we walk in darkness. And the sign that said, a hypocrite, if we walk in the darkness, that's our cardboard sign. And God, by his grace, will allow us to walk in the light. Jesus not only said, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world. He also says, I am the door. A door? Jesus is the door? Like right there. Those are doors right there. Those doors are used to separate. Jesus says, I'm the door. He says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me, hears my voice, and opens the door, I come in to be with him and to fellowship with him. You see, Jesus wants to satisfy our life as the bread of life. He wants to forgive our sins as the light of the world. But as the door, he wants to have fellowship with us. Will you open that door? That's what's separating us from God, is the door. And he wants that door open, but it's your choice. He's not going to kick down the door. It's your choice. Someone says, well, I don't think it's fair that God sends people to hell. He never will send anybody to hell. It's the choice. They don't want to go through the door. They don't want to be with Christ. He came because he loves the world. It's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. You see, Jesus Christ is no longer on the cross. He's on the throne. He's on the throne of grace calling us to himself. He calls us as the bread of life, as the light of the world, and as the door. But he's also called the great shepherd. That's right. I am that I am is the great shepherd. He's not just the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. Is he your great shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Right. The great I am changes who I am. That's very true. Now, for a moment, this is a little devotional insight that might carry you for a long way if you think about this. Jesus is the good and great shepherd, correct? And the shepherd has the responsibility of taking care of the lambs. The great shepherd became the great lamb. Jesus the shepherd became the Lamb of God. John the Baptist says, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The great shepherd humbled himself to become a lamb, to die on the cross as the Lamb of God, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day to prove himself. In heaven, we'll see him as the Lamb of God that took away our sins, but we'll also see him as our good and great shepherd. That's our Savior. That's Jesus Christ. We love him. He is our Lamb of God. We love him. He is our great shepherd who wants to take care of us. He lays his life down for us. That's what the great shepherd does. Why does he do that? Listen, because he loves you. Remember the bread of life? The bread of life is he wants to be the one to satisfy your life. If you think you can find satisfaction apart from Jesus Christ and apart from his word, if you think you can go indulge yourself until you get sick of the world, sick and tired of the world, sick of the stuff of the world, indulge yourself. You get sick of it and you'll realize how good and how great and how gracious God is. He is the one that can satisfy me. Was that not true with the prodigal? Was not the prodigal the one that says, I'm sick of you, Dad. I'm sick of your blessing. I'm sick of your leadership in our home. I'm sick of your authority. See you later. And by the way, cash me out in advance. Liquidate my inheritance now. Bye. And he left thinking, I don't need him, and I hope I never see him again. And when his money ran out and his pleasure expired, he found himself in a pig pen, literally. And he thought about his dad. And it's interesting how your perspective changes when you're in the pig pen. Your perspective of those who truly loved you and cared for you. He says, I know the way my dad is. If I just come back as a hired person for my dad, I've seen the way he treats his employees. Just being an employee would be wonderful. I don't expect any more. But his dad met him by racing to where he was when he was coming home and embraced him and loved him and celebrated the fact that he said, I'm done with the world and I want to pursue the things of God in my life. That's our great shepherd. That's our bread of life. That's our light and door. There's a couple of more. The resurrection and the life. Do you need hope today? We all need hope. Every one of us needs hope. I was praying, I hope it's really going to be a great morning on the water. And it was. And there's a lot of things we have hope in. Some of you have hope regarding the Mariners. Now that takes a lot of faith, but you have hope, okay? We have hope in things. But Jesus says, will you have hope in me? You see, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were a tight family. They loved Jesus. And Jesus, it seems, frequented their place often. Martha fixed the food. Jesus would show up. And Jesus would say, you got room for 12 more plates? I got a few friends with me. That's who they were. So when Lazarus died, Jesus was away. Get word to Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He didn't even show up for the funeral. When he finally showed up, they were wondering, what's this all about? And Jesus says, I'm here to let you know that I am the resurrection and the life, and that your brother can come out of the tomb by me calling out to Lazarus, which he did. And Lazarus came out of the tomb, and Lazarus was alive. And Jesus says, I want you to know, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I am that I am. I am God. I am the eternal God. I control all of this. I'm in charge. You know, I was wondering what Suri might have to say today, since we're on some pretty important topics here, about some of the things that we're talking about here this morning. And asked her a couple of questions earlier today. For example, I says, Suri, do you believe that the great I am can change who I am? Answer, I'd really rather not discuss my beliefs, Pastor Tommy. I asked then another question. Well, when you die, will you go to heaven? I'm really not equipped to answer such questions, Pastor Tommy. Last one, is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Answer, I eschew theological disquisitions. I'll borrow your dictionary later. Listen, I'm going to set it straight here through the word. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but through him. And we need to know this. And God has given us all the information to know and to believe and to put our trust in him. Not only was he the bread of life and the light of the world and the door and the good shepherd and the resurrection and the life as he raised Lazarus up. And by the way, his delays are not necessarily his denials. He delayed coming, but he worked a mighty work. Be patient. Sometimes you think his delays are a setback. I will assure you, when we're in heaven, his delays were nothing but an abundant increase in our life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What? I mean, that sounds like it's absolute truth. Right. Well, wait a minute. That sounds intolerant. True. It is intolerant of sin. He came to forgive sin. He came to lead us in the right way for our lives. He says with complete authority and truth, I am the way, truth, and life. Wait a minute. You know, I've been kind of following you on this, Pastor, but I'm jumping off the bus right here. I mean, the train's taking me as far. I mean, there's a lot of other religions. That's right. Absolutely, there are. Absolutely, there are. There's one Savior and one Lord. There's only one leader of the human race that left heaven to come to earth to show himself as God, fulfilled all the prophecies in advance that he was God, proved that he was God by dying and rising again from the dead. Nobody else has ever done that. Nobody else has ever conquered death. No one. All other religious leaders need Jesus Christ. They all need Jesus Christ, regardless of their philosophy stand. There's only one way. Listen, stay with me for just a minute. We're in an academic setting here, so let's be academically honest. If someone wants a position that, you know what, that's good for you, but I believe in a lot of other ways, not that exclusive, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're entitled to your position, but let's be honest, academically, intellectually. If that's your position, then you must say publicly, Jesus Christ is a big fool, because he's a big fool for dying on a cross for me when I don't need his death on a cross for me. I have my own way. You must publicly and boldly take your position and shout it, because that's your position. But you wouldn't do that, because you know that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is love. He is the way. And what keeps us from surrendering is our pride. That's what keeps us, our pride, our arrogance. That's what keeps us from following Jesus Christ. And it's his loving kindness that is poured upon us. But the last one is, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Jesus said that. Well, how does that affect me in every way? Stay with me, a true vine. See, the vine is needed. The branch is in the vine. We're called branches. We're in the vine. And because the branch is in the vine, there's life in the branch. And on the branch, there's the fruit. All of us find ourselves in Christ. He is the vine, the true vine. Does that make a difference? It does. Because your life will have purpose and meaning. It will become fruitful and abundant. You'll see that your life matters and it makes a difference. You'll realize that we're in God's hand. We're doing God's will. We're doing God's work. We're loving God and serving God and serving others. And we are steadfast in that vine. So in summary, we see Jesus Christ proclaiming himself to be the bread of life. I am the great I am. And because he's the great I am, he changes who I am. I want to seek him and receive from him that satisfying life in him. I thank God I receive forgiveness and I need his forgiveness ongoing. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I can walk through the door and have fellowship with him. He's at the throne of grace and he says, boldly come to me and let your heart be poured out before me. He says that to us. He says that I'm the good shepherd and I know that he's going to take care of me and he'll take care of you. I'm a pastor. I try to take care of you, God's people, but God's taking care of all of us. And I need him to take care of me. And I want to represent his heart as I take care of you. The resurrection and life, that's the hope I need every day. That when I die, I'm in his presence immediately. We just moved our mailing address. Home at last. In the way, the truth, and the life, I like absolute certainty. I want to know for certain. I am sold out to the gospel of Christ. I am sold out to Jesus Christ. I'm sold out just to do whatever he has, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to go. And he's proven it to us today and every day. And by having that relationship, we have purpose. If we're lacking any of these, it's time to say, Lord, wow, the gospel of John, the great I am, changes who I am. I don't want to lose the moment that the Lord may have right now. And it's God's moment, not mine. It's God's moment. It's God's moment. Let's settle our hearts and minds right now. Really, let's settle it right now. If you, right now, just calm our hearts before the Lord. I said earlier, either we'll leave here with a stronger desire to walk into the light and honor God with our lives, or we'll move away from the light and live in the darkness. That's the way it is. And Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you could settle these issues. It's the issue of our heart and our mind and our soul right now? What are we willing to give away not to have you? What do we think is more important than you? What are we holding on to that is not what you've given to us to hold on to? It's something we've taken and we think we need or want, and it is ruining us. We need to let go of it, and we need to hold on to Jesus right now. Dear Lord, forgive me and forgive us of our sins. We ask, Lord, for those that are looking to you as a Savior right now, you would be their Savior and Lord. Confess your sins and say, Jesus, I want you, the great I am. I want you to be my shepherd. I'm tired of being the Lord of my life. And for the rest of us, our desire, Lord, is to follow hard after you in your grace and in the fullness of your love, not hard in our own power, not hard in personal exhaustion, but in sense of deep commitment and willing to do away with any distractions that keep us from doing your work at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.